All right, we're continuing our series titled Profile in Prayer, and this is the second part. And we're looking at verse 10 of Matthew chapter 6, and the petitions revolve around God's kingdom and God's will. Remember last week, we looked at verse 9, where we were taught to pray in this manner: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So in this first part, we learned that to pray is to both praise God and to ask of him. But prayer, even with the praising, is primarily asking. And so when we look at the Lord's Prayer, it's all about asking him. And so we pray that the Father, our Father, would be near to us and that he would love us. And we know that he does. We pray that our Father in heaven would not only be this near presence in our lives, but that we would understand his power, and that puts us in this idea of transcendence. God has to be separate from his creation. He's outside of creation, outside of time, infinite, all-powerful and all-knowing, and those attributes that belong only to him remind us of the fact that he can access those things that we cannot access. So we ask of him to provide in these special ways for us. Now, to hallow his name means to declare it as holy. The name of God is holy. Who he is and what he has done for us, that is the definition of what it means to set apart the name of God. This is who my God is, and this is what he has done for me. And so we declare his name as holy in our prayer time and even as we are out in the world. Remember, the first three asks or petitions have to do with the idea of God, and the final three asks deal with our own needs. So with all of that, let's look at verse 10. In verse 10, it says, Your will be done. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So your kingdom come. Joseph of Arimathea was a prominent member of the Sanhedrin. And we're told in Mark chapter 15 and verse 43 that he was waiting for the kingdom of God. He courageously went before Pilate. He asked for the body of Jesus, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Paul, he mentions this idea in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 22. He prayed that the Lord Jesus would come. Now, this isn't the only time that Paul asks for the Lord Jesus to come. But here in 1 Corinthians 16, 22, it is clear. Revelation 11, probably my favorite passage in this regard, tells us of a future time when the kingdoms of this world would become the kingdoms of our Lord. That is, there would still be these kingdoms, right? These kingdoms of man, but they would assume their position under the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those kingdoms would belong to him. The world would belong to him. That's in Revelation 11, verse 16. And then Jesus would reign forever and ever over those kingdoms. So when we pray for the kingdom of Jesus to come, that means it's not here now, all right? That's what we believe. That this kingdom that he's asking us to pray would come is not present with us now. Now, I think to say that it's here in its spiritual form is to confuse matters. And so for me, when I think of the Lord Jesus, I think of him as the eternal king. I don't have a problem with that. As my sovereign, he has authority over me. But as far as his rule and the fulfillment of the prophecies in the scriptures and the coming of his kingdom here on earth, that has not happened. Right now, he is in heaven. And he's interceding for us at the right hand of God. And he's preparing a place for all of us. And that's where we're going to go and meet him. But he is coming, and when he comes, he will set up his kingdom. He will rule upon the throne of David, as promised in 2 Samuel chapter 7. So when we look at the kingdom of God here, we believe that it's more than just this idea of universal sovereignty over all things. And we certainly don't believe that we are going to usher in that kingdom. To think that would be to think that Christianity is being established upon the earth and it's overwhelming political organizations and philosophical ideas, and all kinds of people are coming to Christ and things are getting better and better and better. We just don't believe that. And we don't see that as a reality. And 2 Timothy 3 tells us very clearly that things are going to get worse as the latter days unfold. And so we believe that the coming kingdom spoken of here that we're asking would come is that millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the good thing about this is it is a time for Israel, and a lot of the prophecies fulfilled will be for Israel, but the Bible tells us that we will reign with Jesus over that kingdom. Those of us who are in the church, both Jews and Gentiles, will reign with him during that 1,000-year reign. So my question is, do I pray for the kingdom of the Lord Jesus to come? In other words, you know, we are so used to the Lord's Prayer, we have to start thinking about our own prayer life and how it parallels this prayer. Am I asking daily for the Lord Jesus to come, for his kingdom to be established here on earth, that all the kingdoms of men would bow the knee, and that these kingdoms would become his kingdoms, and that he would rule and reign over us as well? I like what Romans 8, verses 21 through 23 say regarding this anticipation of the kingdom. We talked about these when we were talking about hope on Sunday. It says, "The creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." So we are adopted. We are children of God. But notice this text is talking about this final state where we will see our bodies free from sin, not only its power and its penalty, but its very presence as well. We will be rescued forever and everything will be made right when the kingdom comes. Now the second idea in verse 10 is, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So we've already established that Jesus is the supreme king, and so it makes sense what we read here. If he's the king, if he's sovereign, then of course his will needs to be done, and we're praying that it would be done. But you say, well, it's going to be done no matter what. But he has told us to pray that it would be done and to participate in this very idea. It should be done, the will of God, here on earth, even as it is done in heaven above. And so to get the idea of how the will of God is carried out in heaven, we could look at the angels as an example. They joyfully carry out the commands of God, and there's no second thought given to that. They do exactly what God commands them to do, and they do it in a way that is happy and joy-filled, and they praise God as they're doing it. We pray for the will of God to be carried out here on earth, even as is done in heaven among the angels. And so we pray that it would be done, and we don't assume that it is done in our lives every single day. That's why we have to pray this on a daily basis. In other words, as I think about God's will being done, I don't assume that I'm doing the will of God. I start to examine my own life, and I see where I fall short, and I can bring that before God. I know what God's will is for me. God's will is for me to feed on his word daily, to pray in dependence upon him. God's will is for me to confess my sin. And the greatest battle that I face each day is divesting myself of my own will. I think of the times where I rationally tried to make something that I know is wrong right. so that I can do my will. That justification, that rationalization that goes on, be pretty hard to pray, Lord, your will be done here on earth as it is done in heaven, if I am not willing to budge in this one area of my life, whatever that area happens to be. I struggle with this even today. And so I want God's will to be done. I know that my will being done in my life would confound my life, would cause all kinds of problems in my life. It's God's will for me to obey him and to serve him. And I want his will to be done. I like what Hebrews 13 says, verse 20. It says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will." That maturing process, that perfecting process, we want it to continue to go on so that we are doing the will of God. As a matter of fact, to do what is pleasing in God's sight is just little micro decisions that we make every day and choices. If we make those decisions in the way that honors God and that is pleasing in his sight, then we won't have problems with this idea, I wonder what God's will is for me in this overarching sense. To me, God has never made it very clear. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, but that light only extends so far. And so as I respond to that light day by day, then I find that I'm heading down the narrow way. And it may be difficult, but I continue to do what God's will is for me. It might include suffering, might include prosperity, it might include many different things that are going on. But I do the will of God little by little each day, and then the big ticket items kind of take care of themselves. Your will be done. Now, I think that there are times when I struggle with wanting to do the will of God, and I think the best thing to do at times like that is to frankly admit it to God, because you can't hide it from him. And then just pray this, Lord, make me willing to do your will. There's nothing wrong with that. It is you need the strength. It's almost like, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I know it's best for me to do your will today, but I'm having a hard time, and there's a stubborn streak in me and a rebellious bent. Please help me to do your will today. Make me willing to do your will. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As it is done in heaven. That's the ellipsis there. So we pray for the Lord's kingdom to come. We pray for his will to be done. There is coming a day when the kingdom of God will come and where his will be executed flawlessly. Think about that. We look forward to that day. Isaiah 60, speaking of Israel, I understand, but there's parallel here for us. It says that the day is coming when the sun will no longer be your light by day, nor your brightness shall the moon give light to you. The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you. But the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God your glory. Your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. You know, all of the grief and the sorrow and the difficulty in this present hour pales in comparison to the light, the everlasting light that we will enjoy in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so let's pray, Lord, may your kingdom come and may your will be done here on earth as it is done in heaven. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. We pray for your strength. We ask, Lord, that you would make us willing to do your will, that you would come soon and rescue your church from this world, and Lord, we watch for that day. We look forward to it. We pray that you would help us to be busy sharing the gospel that provides an entrance into your kingdom and gives one the privilege to be part of this adoption and Lord, to be able to be safe and secure with you forever. We pray that you would lead us to people who need you and that you would give us the courage to preach the gospel to them. And Lord, lead them to us. Help us to be ready to give an answer of the hope that is within us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to go ahead and pray tonight.